This episode of Clearview Today is brought to you by Le Bleu Ultra Pure Water. David, how many bottles of water do you think you drink a day?
Well, actually, I only drink Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew, Strawberry Yoo-Hoo, and the occasional Pepto-Bismol.
Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew? Do they even make that anymore?
Fun fact, no. I have to make my own with McDonald's Sprite, and you guessed it, Texas Pete.
I am genuinely horrified to hear that.
Me too.
You know, unlike other bottled waters, Le Bleu water only has two ingredients, hydrogen and oxygen. Nothing more, nothing less. Le Bleu's award-winning ultra-pure water is the result of their patent-pending five steps beyond Mother Nature process, which eliminates the inorganic materials and creates uniquely pure water, free of contaminants and perfectly balanced and fresh tasting.
And Le Bleu produces only the highest quality, ultra-pure bottled water on the market. You can get them in 1 liter, 1.5 liters, 12 ounces, 20 ounces, or even in the 3 to 5 gallon water coolers. And best of all, Le Bleu Central conveniently delivers this pure refreshment right to your home or office.
That's right. Le Bleu delivers our water coolers right here to Clearview Church every single month like clockwork. And it's not just water. Le Bleu supplies the finest gourmet coffees, teas, and hot chocolates to accommodate every preference in your office. I'm talking Green Mountain, Starbucks, Krispy Kreme, Donut Shop. So whether you're looking for the perfect brew for yourself or for your workplace, Le Bleu has got you covered.
You can visit their website today at MyLeBleu, that's MyLeBleu.com, and use promo code TODAY, that's TODAY, for a 10% discount at checkout. Every single purchase you make using that promo code helps us here at the Clearview Today Show and gets you one step closer to the purest, most refreshing water you've ever tasted.
Thank you to Le Bleu for sponsoring this episode. Now let's start the show.
Where's my Mountain Dew?
You're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
You can find our show online by visiting clearviewtodayshow.com. Or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text at 252-582-5028. Or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right, and we want you guys to help us keep the conversation moving forward. You can do that by supporting the show. You can share it online with your friends and family. Leave us a good 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasting content from. We're going to leave a couple of links right there in the description so you can do just that.
The verse of the day today is coming to you from Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God.
That's right. That is your identity. You are marked as a Christian by whether or not the Holy Spirit of God is living in you. And the Bible gives you that confirmation, right? You have assurance that if you are a Christian, if you're saved, you have the third person of the Trinity living inside you. That is mind-blowing.
Yeah.
And Paul's not saying that you're saved by works or your ability to just stop sinning. He's saying that the Holy Spirit of God is what helps you. He's your helper,
yeah.
Right? He's your comforter and your guide.
Yeah, exactly. People use the excuse of like, well, I'm just human or I'm only human. Well, if you're a believer, no, that's not true. You're not only human. You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, just like you said, John, the third person of the Trinity dwelling within us. So when you use that excuse of your humanity or your fallenness, you are diminishing the work of the Spirit in you and you are not paying attention to what God wants to work in you.
That's right.
And your identity as a son or a daughter of God.
That's right. He doesn't say as many are controlled by the Spirit. You are led by the Spirit. He leads you. And man, that's what we want to just foster in our lives and yours as well. And one of the ways that he leads you is by the word of God. And we just want to remind you, this episode is brought to you by the Date the Word app. You can get it for free right now on iPhone or Android. We're going to leave a link right there in the description so you can grab it yourself. I got to tell you, buddy. I think
what you sipping over there in your cup?
I'm sipping. So I got my Agatha Christie mug.
Saw that.
This is Murder of Roger Ackroyd.
Right.
Shout out to Agatha Christie.
Thanks for listening to the show.
I'm
Ms.
sipping
Christie.
Tea. I'm feeling particularly British today.
Oh, okay.
We've been going through this journey through England, and I've been making the switch back and forth between coffee and tea. Like, I think I'm just going to make it permanent. I think I'm going to be a tea guy.
I'm going to be a
proper Brit right now. And I think that's the way that it needs to be. I think I'm going to start going with the accent.
So when
Dr. Shaw comes out, I'd be like, hello, governor.
Oh.
Righto to see you today. Gentlemen, this is Democracy Manifest.
You switched accents a lot. We went Cockney and then we went somewhere in like I don't know. You,
if I was,
that was a roller coaster.
I'm thinking
ride.
About the Dowager from Downton Abbey. What's McGonagall's name? I can't think of her.
Maggie Smith.
Yes, I'd be like, I'm going to drink some tea.
How you love to be
Lord Grant.
What is it? How you love to be proven wrong?
Yeah, something like that.
I'm not familiar with the sensation.
I don't know what it is, man. I just think it's better. I think it's easier. It takes way less to actually make. I just pour some hot water over a bag.
I do like tea. I enjoy tea, but I like coffee too. I don't know. I'm kind of in both camps. I kind of straddle the fence.
So what is it? Maybe David, you can shed some light on this. What is it? What are the teas that have caffeine and what are the teas that don't? Because you're kind of the tea connoisseur that brings all the tea in here. I don't pay for squat, by the way. I don't pay for any of the tea.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I'm a tea connoisseur.
You're the tea provider. I'll say that at least.
You could be Mr. Tea.
Because some... Very nice.
I like that.
Pity fool!
who don't sleep your tea correctly?
Some of the teas don't have caffeine.
Right.
Which ones don't?
Teas that are herbal. So teas that have caffeine would be like black tea, green tea, white tea.
But herbal tea doesn't.
Herbal tea does not because it doesn't have... like tea leaves in it. Herbal tea has other herbs and stuff.
That makes sense because I was drinking tea on the way home last night and I fell asleep behind the wheel.
Oh no.
That was kind of crazy.
Well, what did you drink? Because if you drink like chamomile tea, that's supposed to help you go to sleep.
Yeah, it was chamomile tea, but I also put 2-melatonin in it.
Yeah, see, that's not tea. that's a you problem.
That's a night cocktail.
I guess I'm just saying I'm starting to like it better. And I think it's been like 2 weeks since I've had a coffee.
Really?
I think I had a coffee with breakfast last Monday.
Yeah.
So maybe like 10 days.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think I like it better. And I think, I don't know if that makes me un-American or not. Like,
you can like tea. It's fine.
Americans can like tea?
Sure, you can like tea. We don't have to dump it in a harbor. You're okay.
What about Americans in the South? Like red-blooded American men who live in the South, they don't drink hot tea.
It's unusual, but that doesn't mean you can't. I mean, I'm wearing a Hawaiian shirt on the radio today. So
fair enough.
Like, drink your tea.
Yeah, by the way.
Can I say? Yeah. You said red-blooded American men who live in the South don't drink tea?
Yeah. Well, most of them don't.
This is my teacup right here with tea in it.
Yeah.
I'm red-blooded. I'm American.
I had a cup of tea yesterday.
Yeah.
I'm from the South.
Yeah. I haven't had any tea yet today.
I think I'm about to go have my second cup. Okay. I think I'm gonna take a break and we'll go get Dr. Shaw and do the rest of the episode.
If you enjoy tea, you can have the tea. It's okay.
I know. I'm saying it's not manly to have tea.
Who cares? Make it manly.
I didn't think about that. Yeah.
Make it manly.
Yeah, I'll put some like some asphalt in my tea. I'll put some like gravel or something.
Not that.
It's a bunch of nails and just crush them up and put them in there.
You make the choice. Put the tea back in testosterone.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
I like it.
Right. If you're a tea drinker, write in and let us know your tea hacks or your favorite blend of tea. Let us know what that is. 252-582-5028.
I like the caramel apple kind.
Okay. I'm trying really hard to make it manly and you're not making it easy for me. 252-582-5028. Or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. We'll be back after this.
Hey, Ryan.
Hey, John.
Hey, man. I'm having an awesome time doing the Clearview Today Show with you.
Thanks, man. And I hope people are having an awesome time listening to it.
Well, listen, I think our listeners would actually be interested to know that Clearview Today is not the only podcast we produce.
Do go on.
Oh, well, go ahead and stop what you're doing right now. Mosey on over to your podcast app and subscribe to Sermons by Abadan Shah, PhD.
As many of you know, Dr. Shah is our lead pastor here at Clearview Church. And every single week, he preaches expository messages that challenge and inspire us to live godly lives. One of our core values at Clearview Church is that we're a Bible-believing church, which means that every single sermon is coming directly from the text.
And it's great because whether you're driving, cleaning the house, working out, whatever you're doing, you're listening and receiving timeless biblical truths.
And God works through every sermon differently, which means you're always going to get something new. Sometimes it'll be conviction, sometimes it'll be encouragement.
That's right, and you guys can check out Sermons by Abadan Shah, PhD, on the Apple Podcast app. You can find it on our website as well. That's clearviewbc.org. You can even read the transcripts of every message on Dr. Shah's website. That's abadanshah.com.
Love it. John, you ready to hop back in?
Let's do it.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028.
That's right, and we're here once again in the Clearview Today studio with Dr. Abadan Shah, who's a PhD in New Testament textual criticism. Dr. Shah, I've got to tell you, I think I have made the permanent switch from coffee to tea, And I am loving it.
Really?
I think so. I still like a nice cup of coffee, but maybe just like with breakfast or something.
Okay.
Like that.
Yeah.
Throughout the day, I've been drinking a lot more tea, and I got to say, I don't feel like the crash that I thought I would. In England, when you were there,
yes,
more tea than coffee, or more coffee than tea? Because I feel like that's a tea drinking place, but I also feel like they would have coffee.
But you see, when you're tourists, mm-hmm. okay, you're not entering into the average English world.
That's a good point.
And so, like, if I was, let's say I was staying at Tyndall House.
Right.
I went to Tyndall House mm-hmm. in Cambridge, and they had tea time at 10, but I could not make it because I had to be somewhere else mm-hmm. in Cambridge about that time. But my friend who was there, he said, hey, come at 10 because we have tea time and I can introduce you to the other people. Mm-hmm. I didn't get there until like 12.
Right.
And he said, hey, missed you for the tea time. You were not able. I was like, I know, but I had an appointment at Cambridge Library.
Right.
I had this going on, that going on. So I'm sorry. He's like, that's okay. I just want to, you know, introduce you, but that's okay.
Was the tea time part of the conference? Like part of the, something else.
This is at Cambridge.
Okay.
I was near Oxford.
Gotcha.
It's Cambridge. So when you're part of the culture, like you go there, you have family there mm-hmm. or you have a conference there where or you're part of this study society, then you do what they do, but then there's tea time.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But when you're a tourist, you're going from a hotel to a bed and breakfast to whatever.
Yeah.
No tea time.
Gotcha. Not really a part of it.
Yeah. No. They have tea.
Yeah.
But
that's a good point though. Like when we went to Israel or when you guys went to Greece, like you don't really enter into their culture. You kind of just come, see it, have a couple of meals, see the sights and go back to
home. That's how it works.
Yeah.
You know. And anytime you have the opportunity to enter into that culture, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. You get to really experience it. And going to Tyndall House, I was able to. I was not just a tourist. I was a friend and he was taking me around to where they ate their cafeteria. And I was like, oh, this is cool.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah. To be able to see that culture up close, I think that would be a cool experience. Mm.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, I do want to mention, you know, yesterday we quickly brushed past Westminster Abbey. Mm-hmm. All right. Now this is an old church, but anyways, they still have services there. Mm-hmm. Right. So I took a special tour.
Nice.
You have to like pay and reserve in advance. Mm-hmm. Like I did that 3 months in advance for the special tour. And the guy took us behind the scenes and he took us to this room where they had.
I remember this room. Yeah.
The robes of the priest or the pastors, I guess you can say. And this is the order of service here. That's the order of service.
Oh, they don't use planning center.
Weird. Yeah. Yeah, ceremonial plan and everything. And it's all laid out right here for different days, different times.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. So this is the Snapchat that we got. And if you're not listening to the, if you're not watching the show, I'm sorry, man, you're just going to miss it. But it's a lapel microphone. Yeah. Almost, it's very, very, very similar to the one that we sent Dr. Shaw with.
Yeah. So much so that many of us over here were like, what happened? Did they take your microphone? Like what in the world?
When Dr. Shaw travels, we send him with a lapel microphone and the microphone and the receiver. The receiver plugs into our recorder. The recorder goes into his backpack. It's very discreet because we don't, you know, we're not over there with like boom mics and cameras and stuff. So he sent that video that you just saw to our like group Snapchat. And my heart just dropped. I was like, they took his microphone.
Yeah.
Why did they, how did they know it was on him? Did they search him? And it turns out it wasn't ours.
No, I just wanted to show y'all a video that we're using the same microphone that they use in Westminster Abbey. So anyways, we did that the next day, which was Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. I had signed up for this and we had a tour of Churchill's War Room.
Ooh.
Wow.
9 o'clock in the morning.
That's amazing.
It's crazy how much history there is in England. Because we're in this like medieval, like 1200s, 1500s. Now we're jumping ahead to like World War II.
World War
II. War Room.
And I wanted to see that. I was like, I want to see Churchill's War Room. It's a must. And so sure enough, there it is. That's where the war room line begins.
Wow.
And
look how it's like tucked in the corner like that.
Yeah, it's like that. Cool. It's like that.
It's like a little secret entrance.
Yeah. 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 And that's where we went in. And it was phenomenal. I mean, just to walk around and see like this, this little video, this was their actual room where they would strategize.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, if you ever seen the movie Darkest Hour, mm-hmm. in fact, I urge you, go see that movie. It shows you how much was at stake.
Mm. Is that a wax figure?
Yeah.
I was waiting for that guy to move.
I was sitting there the other guy on the left hand side is a real person.
Okay.
But yeah, that's.
I was sitting there waiting for him to move. He was like,
yeah, I was like, oh, I wish he would go away because I want to get a good shot of this room because we make videos and things like that.
Right.
So he went away. Then I was able to kind of get another shot.
Nice. That's awesome.
So, but anyways, this was great. Spent great time over here. The only thing that's kind of funny is a couple of things funny about the Churchill's War Room. One is that it was not that below the surface. Mm. It was like just one level below.
Really?
So if the German bombs had fallen on top of that, they would all be dead.
Jeez. It was just like a floor below the...
Yes. This was just a government building. They decided to take this one section and make their...
This made it a basement.
Headquarters.
Yeah. Wow.
Secondly... Because it was under here, mm-hmm. two things. One was the smell.
Really?
Mm. It was horrible smell.
It smelled bad? Like when you went to visit or
no,
back
no,
then?
No, when we went, it was fine.
Back then.
But because of, you know, I mean, you're locked in there and everybody's smoking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm. True.
So all that reeky smell.
Yeah.
And also, you know, using the bathroom, they have to use them in little pots.
Yeah.
Oh, don't wow.
think,
I
didn't,
yeah.
You didn't think about that as recent as that. But yeah, I mean, guess 1940s underground.
Yeah.
What can you do?
Basement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the lady explained to us that like there was a lady who used to work there as a secretary. She would travel through London. Remember the blackouts? Mm-hmm. So you can't see where you're going. I mean, you can't even see your hand. But she would on purpose go home to use the bathroom because she didn't want to use the bathroom there.
I don't blame her one bit.
Rough work conditions.
Yeah, man. So hey, look, I gotta go use the gas station across the street. I'll be back
that's
in
right.
30 minutes.
Like you see the map. I mean, that's those are actual. Everything that you see in here,
they're originals.
That's
were
incredible.
Left there exactly the same place.
Wow.
After the war was over, they left them right there.
Just left them there for.
Left them there for us to, you know, enjoy.
That's
like
incredible.
Even those like the sugar cubes right there.
Those are really from the 1940s.
There's actual sugar cubes.
Wow, that's crazy.
They're lying there.
Is that a wax figure too?
Yeah, that's a wax figure.
Golly, they look incredible.
It's like someone just hit a pause button on
the street. Yeah, it does.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
So they would sleep there and everything.
They
had little quarters.
Yeah. This is what it is.
Wow.
So anyways, I hope that helps people understand the importance of history.
Oh, definitely.
We finished at 10. I told Nicole, we got to go. Because mm-hmm. 11 o'clock... We're headed to Metropolitan Tabernacle, which is Spurgeon's church.
Nice.
Wow.
We're going to worship over there.
Yeah.
And so we caught an Uber or taxi. I can't remember. And we
what day is this? This is Sunday?
Sunday morning.
Is this the following Sunday from when you went to Westminster Abbey?
Westminster Abbey was Saturday.
Got you.
And then Sunday.
Got you.
Yeah. And we went there. There it is.
Wow. Look at that.
Yeah. This is
y'all dressed to the nines. Nicole didn't wear a t-shirt. Proud
no,
of her.
No. She came prepared.
You know what, Nicole? I'm gonna give you a little bit of respect. Hang on one second. There you go. Proud of you for wearing a.
There you go.
Well done. She showed respect at Spurgeon's Church.
Yep.
Sean, like
so
that
you
time,
can
my
see
friend.
The columns. So the porch of that church is original to Spurgeon's time.
Okay.
Wow.
What is that about 1800s?
Yeah. Mid 1800s. Okay. This is original.
Wow.
All this is original. Inside got bombed. During World War II, so it got destroyed.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
So the church today that you see that is still going. So this is, you see, this is what it looks like. The porch is original. The rest of it is not.
Was Spurgeon gone by that time, by World War II?
Oh, yeah.
Gone? Okay.
He was gone towards the end of the 1800s.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, he was gone.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Because he passed away pretty young, didn't he?
He was in 57.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he was not very old.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, he just worked himself into the ground.
Was the inside rebuilt to match the original style?
Go
or was
back,
it?
Go back to that picture.
Was it updated?
Look at Nicole.
Well, I'll tell you why she's like that, because you see this little path right here?
Uh-huh.
That's a bicycle path. So people come flying through there.
Oh, for real.
Flying.
Yikes.
On bikes. So you have to be very careful that you don't get in their way.
Got you.
So that's
sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt
you. No, I was just asking about the inside when it was rebuilt. Was it rebuilt to match the original style or was it updated?
No, it's updated.
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 How was the service?
It was okay.
Okay.
It's okay. I mean,
if Spurgeon had been preaching, it'd be different.
I would say a whole lot different. And I'm sorry. I know some of those people listening, like, it doesn't matter who's preaching. I'm like, I'm sorry. I didn't go there. I went there for
Spurgeon.
For Spurgeon.
Right. I'm with you.
Being Spurgeon's church.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. It was a great congregation. A lot of people came and a lot of visitors come for this purpose. But not a lot of people go there.
Really?
On a tour, because you have to go there on a Sunday. You got to make sure you plan on being there at 11. So it doesn't happen.
Yeah, a lot of people don't want to do the work out the logistics of it.
But to his credit, Peter Masters came there, I think in the 70s when the church was down to like 20 some people. Mm-hmm. And by God's grace, he hung in there. And today, I mean, it's a pretty good, strong congregation.
Amen.
Wow.
I love it.
But again, you know, it's not necessarily the highlight of my
sure,
tour.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it because of Metropolitan Tabernacle.
Right. That's right.
And then to the south of London, away from Elephant and Castle, that's where the Metropolitan Tabernacle is.
Right.
It was his grave.
Spurgeon's grave?
Spurgeon's grave. So I was like, I want to go by his graveside, but I'm learning London is spread out. Mm. It's going to take me a good 40 minutes to get there by car.
Really?
Yes. Wow.
That's how big London is?
Oh, London is huge.
I didn't know that.
But so we drove and went to the cemetery, and sure enough,
there it is.
Found it.
Look at that.
There he is, right there.
As Nicole is filming, and
that's a grave with some pomp and circumstance.
Yeah,
they really honored him.
Yeah, yeah.
So he wasn't buried at the church. He was buried.
He was buried at this cemetery.
Got you.
Okay. And I wanted to go by there, and I filmed there as well.
Right.
Had a great time. His wife is buried there as well, as you can see.
Yeah.
Susanna Spurgeon, and of course, this is the back of that same, and this is the side.
I love it.
So I'm so glad I went ahead and did it, because now I've done it.
Mm-hmm.
100%. I also wanted to see another grave there, which was of Robert Moffat. His daughter married David Livingstone.
Okay.
The Scottish missionary, the pioneer, you know, in Africa. But no time. Had to roll.
Mm.
From there, we took off. And guess where we went to?
Charles Dickens.
Oh,
Charles Dickens. Look how quaint that looks. The little red door. I like that.
Yeah. And by the way, that entire street still looks the same.
Wow.
They maintained it.
That's how it looked in his day?
In his day. Those fences and everything, exactly the same. The building's exactly the same.
Wow.
And we know that because when you look at like drawings or caricatures, whatever.
Yeah, that's what it looks
exactly
like.
That's what it looks like.
I like that. I like the little red door. That's cute.
Yeah. And we even sat there and ate and had a good, and then walked around the house, looked around. Here's a funny story. At the end of the tour, I come back to the cafeteria area. Nicole's over there. She said, I'm going to get some coffee. I said, oh, okay. All right. I'll see you in a minute. And I walked around, came back. And she said, you won't believe it. This girl working behind the corner, she is from Perry, Georgia.
Nicole told me about this the other day. That's
really
wild.
I said, what? Perry, Georgia is where Nicole's mom lives.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I knew she was in Georgia, but I didn't know it was in Perry.
Exactly. Okay. Like the same
town.
Little community.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It's not even a big town.
Yeah.
But like Kathleen, she's from Kathleen, actually.
Wow.
Which is like the same community where Nicole's mom lives and not very far from where they live.
Small world.
All the way in Charles Dickens Museum
in London,
here you find.
Yeah.
This young lady, and so we had a great conversation.
I'd be surprised if I was living in Georgia and found out that we were both from the same place.
Yeah,
crazy. You know?
That's crazy. That's
so
insane.
So then we left, came back to the hotel, walked around Trafalgar Square, and then from there we walked around, saw Buckingham Palace, all these other things. I mean, and then I made sure I went to saw
Big Ben
again.
Nice.
Again. But then I wanted to go by and see Westminster Chapel. I think Nicole took my picture there because that's where G. Campbell Morgan and D. Martin Lloyd-Jones, and then up until recently, R.T. Kendall pastored.
They were all at the church.
And I look up to all three of them.
Wow.
From there, we had to leave, and I went several places here and there. But then at 2 o'clock, I had an appointment at Lambeth Palace.
Ooh.
Which is a library.
Uh-huh.
That's where the Archbishop of Canterbury's office is.
Okay.
And I wanted to see the first folio of King James Bible.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I wanted to see the notes of the translators.
Now, what is the folio?
Folio is like the first copy.
Okay. So yeah. The original.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so, you know, I had to go through a lot of, you know, paperwork like and all that. But anyways, stuff. I have a card now for 5 years. I can go request whatever I want to see.
Hey, nice.
They had it ready. And they pulled it out. And I told the guy, I said, he said, so you have a whole day? If you want to take pictures of the book, you know, you have to fill out some things. I was like, I don't want to take a picture. I want you to take a picture of me looking at it.
Uh-huh.
He said, oh, okay.
He did it?
Yeah. That's me. Looking at the actual notes by the translators of the King. I'm actually handling it. Look at that.
So that book that you're holding is from the translators of the King James Bible held and wrote in that exact same book.
Yes.
That's not a facsimile.
No. No, that's actual.
Wow.
That's incredible.
And that's the actual folio.
Wow.
Wow. That's incredible.
And I just like looked and I said, yes, go ahead and take my picture. He said, that's it. I'm like, that's it. Okay. That's easy. I was like, thank you.
Yeah.
And so, but that was great to be able to do that and have the pictures to prove.
Like you can say that is the King James Bible.
Yes.
Yeah. That's it.
1611.
Wow.
And the translator's notes.
That's incredible.
Put them side by side. I wish I had time. I wish I had even an hour to do that comparison, but no time.
Right. Yeah.
So I was like, got to go because we're heading to St. Paul's Cathedral.
Hey, man, 5 years is a long time, though. We can always go back.
St. Paul's Cathedral.
You went to St. Paul's?
Yep, St. Paul's Cathedral, which is quite amazing. This church was built by Christopher Wren. Christopher Wren was...
dang, look at it. That is massive.
Beautiful. I mean, that's nothing. You should see the dome behind it, which is... It's just mind-blowing. I mean, this is how it looks like on the inside.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Yeah, this is what it looks like on the inside.
That's breathtaking.
It is.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy. I just don't even have the words.
See, that's the thing. People often will put down stuff like this. Well, you know, well, it's not about all this. It's not about all the ornateness and all the design. I'm like, but someone made that with love, man.
Yeah.
Someone really put their heart and soul into designing that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Like, that's not just like...
Hey, let's go to church.
Yeah.
That's more than that.
Someone really cared enough about that building and about that worship space to do that.
By the way, I went here because this is Thomas Middleton's grave or little something. He was the Bishop of Calcutta.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So you see that?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And this is going
first
back
Bishop of India.
The 1800s. So anyways.
That's incredible.
So this is the place, and it was awesome to walk around and see some of these things. That's him right there. Same guy.
Thomas Fanshawe.
But anyways, Christopher Wren was a mathematician.
Uh-huh.
And he took the architecture of the East as his model to bring some of the most sophisticated architecture into the West.
Wow. Mm.
This that's is going incredible. Back to the 1600s.
What are some of the 1700s? He saw like architect because that's right because
from Byzantium like Constantinople or Hagia Sophia, he took those things and brought them here.
How old do you know is St. Paul's Cathedral?
I mean
is
that's going back to the 1700s.
Okay,
now it's older. It got burned, I think, and so it was rebuilt by Christopher Wren, if I'm not wrong. And
yeah,
so,
you're right.
Yeah, look at this. This is what it looks like inside.
Incredible.
And look at the, this is what it in places. And this is the main dome.
Wow.
Goodness.
I love it. Yeah.
That is really incredible. They still have services?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Look at that. Look at that. That's my jacket. But I'm just looking at that.
And you just sit under, you sit under it for the actual service?
Yep.
Incredible.
It's amazing. So when you see the picture of London after the bombing, see, that's the dome. That's part of the dome that you don't see when you're standing so close to it. You don't see it. But that's part of the dome. See, this is from the distance. But you only see that's the front beautiful. If you're too close. So you don't see, you know, you don't see that.
What do you think it would cost to get that built here at Clearview?
Oh, gosh.
I
think that era
kind.
Is gone.
Yeah. I think you're right.
That era of, you know, is over.
Yeah.
So anyways, One more episode we have to do now.
Let's do it. Hey, let's do it.
That's incredible. I love that because I feel like we're getting like secondhand experience of all the things that you saw.
Well, one reason to talk about these things and these cathedrals is to help people realize, of course, just like our song, The Gathering, it's not in the buildings.
Right.
But the building is our home.
That's right.
We meet there. Mm-hmm. And we should take pride in it. We should preserve it. We should seek to reach people, especially young generation, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The sad story in England is they have all this and they know how to preserve it. I don't think they're reaching people with the gospel.
That's true. And another thing that I've learned over the, because we're building a worship center right now, our new sanctuary. And one thing I've really come to think about is that people who say that, well, you know, it's really not about the building. They have no involvement in actually building it. Because when you look at something like that, and even something like our building, you, at the end of the day, you grow to care about it because you've invested in it. You've spent time and money and effort trying to make this not only function, but look good and try to make it excellent for God, because this is where we're going. Coming to worship.
Right. That's right.
So I think, because I used to say stuff like that, the building doesn't matter. It's not important. But I had no vested interest at all. Right. So, of course, it didn't matter to me.
Yeah. It reminds us that it's important. It reminds us that we stand on the shoulders of a legacy of faith.
That's right.
Throughout history.
Great point.
People who cared enough to create something like that.
Exactly. Join us for tomorrow's episode as we continue through Dr. Shaw's journey through England. If you enjoyed today's episode, write in and let us know, 252-582-5028, or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Don't forget, you can partner with us financially on that same website. Be a part of what God is doing through the Clearview Today Show and help us impact the nations with the gospel. Make sure you guys tune in tomorrow. Love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow on Clearview Today.